But I thought it would be appropriate to draw your attention to a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 16. This is Jesus at Caesarea Philippi. And words that are very familiar to you, and you probably don't need to turn to them unless they are really next to you. Matthew 16 and verses 18 and 19, Jesus has just asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter has answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To which Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is Jesus? Three questions, three very simple, basic questions as we reflect on where we are. What is Jesus' plan for the future? For yours and mine. And that plan that Jesus has for the future encompasses church. I will build my church. The church is at the center of Jesus' plan and purpose. It's not a peripheral thing. There are all kinds of books out there at the minute. The church, my ex. How I left the church and found peace. We've broken up, small print, the church and I. And 20, 30, 40 other titles of similar nature. I want us to reaffirm tonight that at the heart of Jesus' plan is the church. It's not small groups. It's not spiritual conversations in Starbucks. It's not doing community or a thousand other things that are important and meaningful. But at the heart of what Jesus plans for the future is church. I will build my church. Church with structure. Not just church in Acts chapter 2 where they're just meeting in people's homes and it really has no structure. But the church grown up, the church in 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy, in Titus, 30 years later, with office bearers, with deacons and elders and preachers and collections and singing and praying and preaching, that kind of church. Not church necessarily with magnificent buildings. And you have to say, this is a magnificent building. Very few of our brothers and sisters have the luxury of sitting in a building like this one, but it's too small. I wanted to say one of the reasons why we should expand is because we need a bigger room to meet for our congregational meeting. Yeah, this is a sign of God's blessing, but church It may be in some instances a very small church. It may be a church that's still meeting in a house. But it's church with structure, church with offices, church that has all the means of grace attached to it. What is Jesus' plan for the future church? If you hear a different answer to that, you know, the church has let me down. I'm tired of church. I'm doing something else now, and I'm finding meaning and fulfillment. And well, it's not what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 16. I will build my church. Second question: where? First question was what? Answer: church. Where? Right next to the gates of hell. Hands up those who are here all day from 9 in the morning till 10 at night for the 3 Lord of the Rings movies. Yes, I was here. Craig, you were there. Don't deny it. You remember that scene almost right at the end when they're right up against the gates of Mordor? What's on the other side of the gates of Mordor? Evil. Blackness and horror. And it's spilling out of the gates. And where is goodness and truth and righteousness? Right there. Right there. That's where Jesus builds his church. Not in an ideal world, but this world. Yes. This world of 2015. With these values, with these cultural collapses, with these disappointments. With this particular president or governor or politician. Yes, right here in this environment, that's where Jesus builds his church. Not in an ideal environment. This is not the church in the Garden of Eden. This is not the church in the new heavens and new earth. This is the church in 2015, and where is the church in 2015? It's right next to the gates of hell. So, some of you seem surprised by stuff that's happening all around us. The decay of Judeo-Christian morals and ethics. The collapse of our society. The fear that somehow or other church is going to be more difficult. That being a Christian is going to be more difficult for your grandchildren than it was for you and me. But it's what Jesus said. We shouldn't be surprised by it. But what does he say? The gates of hell will not overcome. They will not prevail. I have a dear friend, Ralph knows this friend of ours, from Brazil, teaches missions. He's Brazilian, you know, he's a stereotype Brazilian. And he's always very positive and very energetic. And he's always talking about Jesus. And he loves to say, I know what the book of Revelation is about. Jesus wins. That's it. Jesus wins. You know, when you know that, when you absolutely know that you're on the winning side, when you go into something, when you enter a battle, when you enter a fray, when as I prayed with somebody today who's facing something, and they're very fearful of it, and to be able to say, Jesus said, I go before you. I go before you. So you enter that with that knowledge, with that certainty. Where does Jesus build his church in this world? The third and final question, the what, church, the where, right up next to the gates of hell that's spilling out and all around us. Third question is how. How does Jesus accomplish this task? And it's this strange verse. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, we could spend the next hour talking about the historical interpretation of this passage and the argument between Roman Catholics and Protestants and so on, and I'm going to bypass all of that. We'll talk about it in Center Point later this spring. But I'm going to pass all that by because I think both sides are missing the point of the passage. There. What arrogance. What opens the door to the kingdom of God, and what closes the door to the kingdom of God? What's the answer? Hands up. What opens the door to the kingdom of God? The gospel. I'm glad you answered the question correctly. The gospel. What closes the door to the kingdom of God? The gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, there is no entry into the kingdom of God. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the door into heaven is closed. It is closed. So, what is Jesus saying to Peter? I'm going to build my church, but how am I going to build it? I'm going to give you, as a representative, a key. My dear friends, the key is in your pocket. Who's lost keys? I mean, who has had this experience of losing keys? There's this little gizmo now. It's called, where's my wife?
Tile.
It's called a tile. You don't, Dr. Wisdom knows. It's got one. There it is. My wife has one. I need one. There's another one. Ralph probably has one. Barbara probably has one. It's if you lose something, I don't even know how it works. You have an app on your phone, and it buzzes. Right? You just press it, and oh, yeah, right, I found it. We sometimes lose the key that is the gospel, thinking that the answer to the problem of our society is this, that, or the other, when the answer is the gospel. And tonight, I mean, this is an extraordinary, I feel enormously privileged, and we all should, to be in a room full as it is tonight of people who seemingly were all of the same mind. So that's extraordinary. Do you understand how extraordinary that is? What a blessing that is? But it's not about buildings. It's about the gospel. That's the main thing. That's the key. We can buy the whole of Colombia, but it's not going to make a pick of difference if we don't know the gospel and we don't talk about the gospel and spread the gospel. So, how does Jesus accomplish this task? Well, yes, he does use buildings and people and food and good coffee. And he uses all of those things. But the key here is the gospel. It's in your pocket. It was there all along. Take it out and use it and see how powerful it is. Because it unlocks doors into the kingdom of God. That's how powerful it is. And that's my... It's my prayer for us as a congregation that in the end we are all about the gospel. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are again beneficiaries of your grace and mercy in the gospel, all of us. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross of Christ we cling. In him we find our all in all. We are filled in him. and fulfilled in him. We find out who we are in him and what we were here for in him. And we pray tonight as a church, as a local church here in this city of Columbia, that we might take out that key that is the gospel out of our pockets and use it. Speak it, sing it, pray it, glory in it, wallow in it, be completely obsessed with it, and all for your praise and glory and the advancement of your kingdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen.